You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
So Walter,
hey,
this is how you're choosing to kick off your full weekend.
This is the real Mania pre-show here, man.
The real Mania, even though it's only going to come up in like 2 weeks after Mania and Mania results will be in. So it's Thursday. You're
this
recording a podcast with
the real Mania pre-show.
All right,
it's happening for me right now.
Exactly. So
I haven't
gone
to WrestleMania. Right? Well, that's what I always say: is fuck the listeners.
Fuck the listeners is the motto of the show.
So we have
tonight. Tonight is recording a podcast with internationally traveled superstar SEXXY Eddie. On the
what
podcast.
What happened just then? Why did you throw in all those extra letters?
Because that's how it's spelt, dumbass. And then tomorrow you hop on a plane to New Orleans?
Yes.
And then what are you doing Friday?
Why haven't we acknowledged our guests yet?
I just did.
Oh, yeah. But
I didn't know if that was my cue to jump in. I didn't want to break that dialogue.
I was going to just talk about the weekend that Walter's having.
Hey, Eddie. How you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Sexy Eddie with so many X's.
I like when people call me superstar. I feel good about that. And then when they see me wrestle, they're like, that's a superstar? Jesus.
Okay. I wrestled in Japan, you're a superstar.
Yeah. That was it. I'm big in Japan, yes.
You're big everywhere, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. Hey, two compliments in the first
feeding eagle lines.
That's
now.
Awesome.
Yeah. What's the official name? Is it Triple X Sexy Eddie? Is it just Sexy
Eddie? The girls will call me a lot of names, but in wrestling, it's the whole thing is Triple X Sex Express Sexy Eddie.
There it is again,
like you were mentioning, three X's. They're all capitals because I don't fuck around.
Right.
Let me tell you.
But you're not going crazy because apart from the S, the other letters are lowercase.
Yeah, you know.
I don't, that would be excessive.
No, then it'd be just nuts.
Right,
people would be
I
like,
know.
Is he yelling his
is
name?
He, yeah.
You know,
sexy!
Eddie. Okay, yeah, exactly, yeah.
No, because, I mean, a XXX title isn't lowercase XXX, right? Like, that's not how you label a porn tape. You don't write lowercase X's.
No, I wrote the big, yeah, exactly. The X marks the spot, so I got three spots to mark. You know, face, tits, and ass. That's how I like to shoot them. Yeah.
The volume that's required to hit all three marks is...
No, it's practice. Practice. Yeah.
It's not about volume. It's about restraint and targeting.
I'm a sharp shooter. Yeah.
So, Walter looks like he's like just thought of like 100 questions and like...
Yeah, I was like, face, tits, and ass. Is that just you being real
safe? You
don't
want to get her pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. I guess, right?
Yeah, you know what's funny? I skipped the vagina.
I know. I was like, you're
guys,
just
don't skip the vagina. Just
route.
Yeah, you know.
Face, tits, and ass, and nobody gets knocked up. You're fine.
This is going to be weird. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but I think one time. When I was like, I remember like scrambled porn. Remember you used to be able to get scrambled porn?
Man, I was a big fan of that, man. That's
you're the right age.
Yeah.
It was scrambled, but I'm pretty sure I saw a guy like fuck a girl's leg once.
That could have happened. I mean, once I was enjoying some, and then you find out 5 minutes later, wait, I think that's two
dudes.
Yeah. Everyone's been caught by that. You know, you're just flicking around scramble porn. You're making sure your parents are still asleep. Yeah. No one gets up. You got to whisper while jerking off. That, you know,
wait a minute. As opposed to yelling while jerking off?
I was like, whisper, you talk dirty to yourself while
you're
jerking off.
I jerk off.
Yeah, exactly. No, man. I grew up, I was in a bunk bed, so I had to learn the art of being really quiet. The first time I had sex, too, it was really funny because I was being really quiet with the girl. She's like, are you liking this? And I'm like, yes, very much. Ooh, you know, keeping it really low. And then I learned after, it was like, wow, that's you're allowed to make more noise. It's not like I'm surrounded by people all the time. And I also learned that you don't always finish on a facial. I thought girls love that
because
I was taught by pornos that, you know, means it's done. The scene fades away. The girls, it was the best. I thought that was her orgasm.
Now it's time for my orgasm.
You know?
Just pull it
it's
out.
An easy mistake to make.
Yeah. So, but you learn quick when the girls, You know, they don't call you after that, or they spread your name in the mud, and so yeah, I had to reinvent myself, start wrestling, and then I just paved the whole trail of sex yeti girls and stuff. And
how long have you been wrestling? How long have you been wrestling now?
Too long. Yeah,
I looked you up because I remembered you wrestling at Dawson because you're only a couple years older than me.
That's right. I'm 22. Yeah,
22
yeah.
years yeah, old. Yeah, Dawson 2000. I started Dawson 2000.
Yeah,
and I think you still did events at Dawson. In 2000?
I did two shows, and actually, I count when I started was April 1999. So right now, the month of April, it's my 15 years in wrestling. So I'm celebrating an anniversary landmark here on the show. So that's pretty cool. Thanks for having me, guys.
15 years?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you got. Look at this. Some fucking research this shit. You got started with a weird fucking radio feud?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dawson radio feud?
Long time ago, we didn't know anything about wrestling. Yeah, and Wikipedia is great. I read a lot of things I didn't know about myself on my page, too. It was really cool.
All that up there.
I don't know.
You don't even know?
There was a lot of weird stuff, and I took some time to actually correct it. I had like a week off a few years ago, and I was just like, this is wrong. This is weird. I didn't know about this. So let me just tweak it up a little bit. But yeah, I started a little radio feud because me and my friend, we were doing radio at Dawson College, and we both liked wrestling. So we just said, you know what? We can maybe stage an event. So we had the mediums of the radio, and the newspaper was right next door. I knew a couple of the writers there.
2C
so,
hallway.
Yeah, so good. That just helped us kind of build this up. We did it at a barbecue. There was already 400 like plus people that were just there to watch our wrestling, but all through the day there was like food, music, and stuff. So we said, why not use that as our forum? I was also on student government, so I was able to work them on some money. Bought a couple things. We stole a couple things. Garbage.
Like backyard styles?
Yeah, garbage day was like like for the whole month before, it was great. We're getting like toasters and ironing boards and microwaves and everything we can get our hands on. So this is how we built it, though, because we didn't know anything. We just had every wrestler in the world's finishing moves and all these things to break, and we just went to town, and we probably almost killed each other, which is stupid, like, you know, but we had a great time, and a lot of people saw that, and from there it built on where...
Do you guys have a ring?
No. We just had, actually, it was just a couple mats, we taped them together, and that was it, but from there, so much of that tape spread that the next year, an actual wrestling promoter kind of came in, wanted to do a show, and then he heard... Wait, you're doing a show, and people kept saying, "Well, you're gonna have Sexy Eddie on, right? You're gonna have Sexy." He didn't know who I was. I didn't know who he was.
The legend of Sexy Eddie.
So the year later,
who the fuck is Sexy Eddie?
Yeah, this guy is like,
you gotta have Sexy Eddie
in that voice. He was like, "You're not gonna fuck up my show," and you know, so. But he was like, "But I think you could sell a lot of tickets." So that's what we did. And from there, that was the first time I used thumbtacks. First time I did my garbage can moonsault, which is climb to the top rope, put a metal garbage can on your head, and do a backflip. So you land on the guy. So, you know, you got to sacrifice yourself to inflict more pain on your opponent.
I imagine that's just, like, there's a little bit of self-sacrifice there.
Yeah. Except
I'm also going to guess that that's never gone wrong for you.
That one time, because it's not something you want to practice. So I flipped and I over rotated, which because you got no arms to help you propel.
Yeah,
so I figured, let me flip really more.
You have no arms and no bearing of where you are in the air either, because you have a garbage can.
Exactly. So, and I had laid the guy a ladder on top of the guy. So I was like, trash can crashes on the ladder, you'll get such a crash and bang and boom, good noise, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, but again, I over-rotated, almost broke my ankle. And that would have been my first match, kind of, and my first match in a ring. Okay. It's like my second wrestling match ever, because the one was the year before. And could have been my last. And also, again, I know there's little secrets in wrestling, but everyone's aware of this right now, since seeing the movie with Mickey Rourke, The Wrestler, how guys might take... sometimes it happens by accident, but sometimes you take a blade to your forehead, like a razor blade, and you use it to cut your head. So I
Go
heard
on.
About this trick. I heard that, about
that's
this...
That's why Dusty Rhodes' forehead is like a
mess. Like hammered
to me. That's why. I didn't... All right.
It's covered with wrinkles in every direction.
I thought he was just unlucky.
So here's me that I heard about this rumor.
Did you blade a little too hard?
Yeah, I didn't know how to make this blade and everything. So I had a big thing of razor blade, and I taped it to the garbage can inside.
Oh, no.
So after I do my flip, which would have happened, I smack on the ladder, big crash, boom, bang. You know, people will be like, you know, see, once it pops off his head, he'll be okay. So I was like, have my thing taped up, and again, it's dark in a garbage can. I don't have a mirror. I've never done this before. Adrenaline's running through.
No.
So I pulled it off, and I rub it on my forehead, and I'm like, no, I didn't feel anything. This doesn't make sense. I must have got the wrong side. So I did it a second time, and I was like, I didn't feel anything again. Something must be wrong. Turned it again, and then I dug it deep, and I was like, yeah, I feel something now. But again, you're sweating. It's like, we did a good long match. This would have been maybe 25-minute mark in the match. So I'm like, could be sweat. I've been in the garbage can for already a minute. It's hot in there. So I'm like, I touch my forehead, and I'm just like, okay, I think it's good. So it comes off of my head. My opponent pulls off, and he's looking at me, and I see his eyes. And the ref is like, stop the match, stop the match. Didn't know what to do. So and I had like they call that crimson mask. It's dark red, and the only thing you could see is my eyes and my teeth. So, yeah, like the James Brown album cover. You just see his eyes and his teeth on some of that. Anyways, long story short, the ref
was... Is his face covered in blood?
No, covered in black, right? Yeah.
James Brown's new album covered in black. Posthumous.
James Brown, Blade Machine.
Hey, man, they just came out with another Michael Jackson album.
Yeah, no,
so, you know what?
Now,
like... When I'm dead, I'm still going to be doing matches. They're going to have holograms of me. Like, look at this fucking idiot falling off the top rope and landing on a brick. Like, that's going to be Sexy Eddie matches, you know?
So that's kind of a good lead, because that was one of my questions, is I was at, like, your persona in the ring is, like, super sexy, super confident. You know, you wear very small trunks, rip off the pants.
Small trunks, but a big package. Just want to make that clear.
Show your big package, little bow tie and all that stuff. And it's not necessarily a guy that, like, hardcore would immediately spring to mind. Like, if I were to just be like, if I were to like pick a bunch of wrestlers out of a lineup, like when you look at Phantom, you're like, oh, I bet you that guy fucks people up. You look at Eddie, you're like, maybe not. But then you do. You have like a great fucking hardcore legacy. You have like a bunch of like, when Phantom was on our podcast way back, he talked about like having some awesome hardcore matches with you.
And I've certainly seen you in some very hardcore matches myself.
Is that is that a like
it kind. I think when we were doing a couple of these a couple years before I actually went to the States and broke in there, I had a mini legacy, I'd say, in Montreal, if you want to say that.
Okay.
But then once it spread to the States, where they were all known as guys who do this stuff are in jeans, usually. And so for them, I don't know, it was a big deal.
The Raven look.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, they're
like
more covered up. But,
or like shit like that. Yeah, like,
but
like
a lot of them, even then, with a little tank top or a wife beater or no shirt, I mean, my chest's taking the same beating, except I'd bleed a little on my legs. But they made it such a big deal that I'm in underwear, not in jeans, and I don't see the difference. You're getting smashed on the chest. Like, you know, it'll feel the same, but I don't know. They were like, he's in underwear.
In my mind,
that got me big time over. They were like, this guy is doing it all, but in his gimmick. I didn't want to break neither that I was going to do a hardcore tournament and then dress up, wear pants and stuff. I thought, then there goes my character. So I did that, and I think I got a lot of respect from the fans, from deathmatch fans and wrestlers. The wrestlers were like, this guy is crazy. And then seeing my garbage can thing and stuff too, they were like, whoa, okay, this guy's legit. That was like kind of the test. That was my first time. So that was in 2004, July 2004.
But I understand that line of thinking, though, man, because like in my mind, like I guess I figured somehow that tights or a T-shirt would somehow protect you from barbed wire.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it goes right through your skin.
I feel like that's it's got to do something, right?
Like if you spill a bit of mustard on a wife beater, it still gets through to your chest. I don't think it will stop barbed wire
I saw you do that barbed wire match years back at Bogey's there at an IWS show, and it was you, and I forget who we were tagging with, but against, I think, the Hardcore Ninjas in a no ring rope barbed wire match, and it just blew my mind that you were doing it just in your trunks there, man.
I still had a nice mark underneath my arm where it's kind of like you're doing the like a Jesus Christ pose. You're laying on your arms are straddled over, and kind of you just take a beating and stuff. But yeah, you go to get off of that, and it's still stuck in your skin. The thing is, too, I've seen some matches where guys do play with fire and with clothes on, which is, again, a big mistake, because then I've seen clothes burnt on people's skin.
Ugh.
Where if they would have been with no shirt, and even then, maybe a little water or oil or whatever, something like sometimes it just kind of it goes right off. It protects you. They were thought, again, clothes was going to protect them. The fire stays on you. It's things you learn, and seeing independent wrestling and being in the scene, I've seen gruesome career-ending injuries, and I've seen a lot of guys, it was their last match.
Yeah.
I've never been where there's been a death, but there it has happened in the rings, like heart attacks or things that have happened like that. There was even a little-known Montreal show where they did an arena, and there's one guy that comes out with a snake.
Yep.
His name was Iceberg at the time. So, again, it's a Iceberg name that people would really be, like, not sure, you know, about this guy or not sure about this little-known show. But so this guy came out with a snake. He puts it in a bag. He put it underneath the ring. They had another bag with a fake snake. So at one point, the guy that's wrestling this guy pulls out the fake bag and throws the fake snake in the air. Threw that in the crowd. People scattered and stomped on each other, like, to get out of the way. Like, you know, kids got stepped on, and there was an old guy that got a heart attack and died that night.
Jesus.
Fuck. Yeah, an audience member. So it's a little-known fact, but it has happened at these small, little, shitty shows that nobody knows about, and
you're just trying to do something to, like, get a reaction and get people to, like.
And it's a good idea too. You do the bag switch.
It sounds like a great idea. Like,
some guy could.
Like, it sounds
that's funny as hell.
It could happen now, but you know, in a crowd where there's kids and old people, you never know. They stepped on. They were like, I don't give a shit. You know that George Costanza in Seinfeld? He runs out of the burning building, and it's like he's first before the women and children, and that's what had happened.
Well, did that happen in one of the Jackass movies? I remember if it's like Jackass 1 or 2 when they had the guys drop in from the ceiling.
Yeah.
There was just like this big black dude who just like gets up and bolts. And there's like women and stuff in the office.
That girl is giant. Hot. I want to get a piece of that. Okay, sorry. Back on topic.
Yeah.
She's like 10 feet away for the record. I just want to watch that.
I can hit that. I can hit that.
She can absolutely hear, and that's okay.
John will have to duck there. He might get some on the toque, but I can hit that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but once survival instinct kicks in, I guess, like, it fucking goes crazy. And if you're like, oh, that's a real snake.
I have a question, though. What happened to the real snake in that story? Was the real snake okay?
Yeah, it wasn't used. It was underneath the ring. Yeah. That's the thing.
It was under the ring in a bag. It was chilling.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to a great
animal lover, man. I want to know what happened to
you talk about, like, fire spots or whatever. And I was like, I just watched one of the fucking shows there.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it was Mick Foley talking about the through the table on fire spot with Edge.
Yeah.
And they both got, like, pretty badly burned.
I think it was just, like, eyebrow burns and, like hair burns and stuff.
Okay, so I'd say badly is an overstatement. But they both got, like, they had some burned skins, burn marks on their skins, and they both ended up with some burnt hair. And that's, like, at the, like, highest level of supposed, like, safety and control, right? It's, like, at a pay-per-view, Edge and Mick Foley. And you're like, and they both walked away with like some burns.
There was a lot of fire on that spot, though.
Yeah,
there was like
there was
that table
was
going
all
yeah.
over a table.
Yeah.
And so if you think about like you're like, okay, so these guys are like, let's say like the biggest pros. As soon as you like roll back into the indies or roll back into like the low card indies, you're like, how much control is there happening over any spot that involves fire?
There's not.
Like,
there's
because it's fucking fire.
There's only a few places where there's nurses. There's only a few places where they have someone who can do stitches. Mm-hmm. So I've been to a lot of shows and you just see like guys, okay, sorry, or you got to drive to the hospital and stuff.
Fuck.
So that's the thing. But some places on spot they'll have that. Example with fire, yeah, you need fire extinguishers, and there's a timing too. The flame at its highest point, once it's at its highest, it starts to go down. That's the time people should fall in it. But again, some guys might, over anticipate it or you know, imagine that it's going to go down too fast. Because lighter fluid, it goes up and it goes down.
Yeah.
But it's enough to stay, especially when you got clothes or like Mick Foley and Edge, both long hair.
Example, Foley was in flannel.
They might have probably doused it with some anti stuff so that
maybe.
Just to prevent. But you know what? There's no fire, barbed wire, glass are uncontrollable. You don't know how they're going to break, how they're going to pierce. So there's always a chance. You could lose an eye so easily. And I watch stuff now that I did, and I'm like, I never thought of that. I never thought, oh, I'll crash right through all this glass, and it flies up in the air. But, like, you know, you get one that pierces in a nerve, goes into like something in your spine. Yeah, like, whatever. You know, imagine paralysis.
Like neon tubes, like, disintegrate into, like, small, teeny tiny razor blades, just like.
And just enough, you have it in your eye, you start rubbing it, you're rubbing it, rubbing it, it keeps cutting and keeps going in and stuff. So just the breathing it, too. Some guys, they do a big spot with a lot of it, and you're breathing sometimes little micro whatever spots of glass, and I don't know, that can't be good for your insides. And when you're shitting blood, yeah, that's, you know. You know, maybe you have a lot of fiber just to clear your system out. But
have you ever said no to either a specific spot or a whole match in general because of the stipulation, because of the format of the match?
Wow, that's a good question. I think I don't think I've ever been asked to do anything crazy. I've been asked once to do my first time in the States at Combat Zone Wrestling. Before I pierced an artery, it was like a tournament style. So you have three matches. Like technically, if you win, you advance. You win and advance again. The last bracket is like the three guys or four guys or whatever it is, and the winner of that becomes a champion. I had won my first match against one of their guys, won my second match against an IWS guy, but I pierced an artery. I was supposed to advance.
Where?
In my arm. And basically, when you pierce an artery, what happens is that you bleed until you're out of blood. So, like,
because unless it, like, it gets tied off or cauterized or whatever. Like.
Exactly. So, but if nobody's there to do that, I mean, you could put your pressure on it and stuff, and it could keep bleeding. So, in the moment, I saw the blood was shooting out of my arm, and as I squeezed harder, it went higher, like a water fountain, like, and it would shoot. So, what I did as I had an image, and I just lifted up, and I started squeezing and drinking it. Because in my head, too, you're a little bit of panic, adrenaline kicks in, and I figured that, look, the blood is coming out of me. I got to keep it in my body. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to lose too much blood. Again, it's in your digestive system, so it's not doing anything. And I puked a lot of blood at the hospital. But because of that show, like I got booked 2 months later. I was in Germany and England. I was flying all over the place because it was a YouTube sensation. But I was supposed to advance the third round to answer the question, and I was supposed to climb on the top of this truck, this back of this this big pickup, and put the garbage can on my head and do the backflip there. Now, again, you're calculating a big difference in height. Again, I would have probably over-rotated and hurt myself with these two guys that would have been catching me. One guy, retired wife beater, and another guy called Necro Butcher, which a lot of guys
Necro
know.
Butcher.
Yeah. Necro Butcher.
And they were supposed to catch me on, like, a cement dirt road kind of thing. And I'm sure they would have been, we don't know this fucking guy. He's coming at us that high with a garbage can. They would have done the good old, like, one hand kind of, yeah, like, I tried to be there.
To catch you. We slowed you down a little, buddy.
I would have probably shattered my knees and had dirt in all my cuts. It would have been a mess. So it was a kind of good an accident that turned into a blessing.
And you didn't get to do that just because of your pierced artery.
Yeah. They drove me right to the hospital. And funny story too, as I just got stitched up, 19 stitches, Necro Butcher comes into the hospital, and the guy that drove me there was like, it's time to go. And I'm like, what do you mean? The cops are here. They're investigating. They don't believe that both of you are here with all this blood because of a wrestling show.
Wow.
They were like, this is a gang fight. So they're like, since you're not American, get the hell out of Dodge.
Really?
Yeah. So Necro had to answer the police questions, but he's from, at that time, West Virginia.
Right.
Yeah. And stuff. So I got out right on time. And it was only at night. I'm in my hospital gown. I went to the bar to show off a little bit to see the other guys. But then
showed up to a bar in a hospital gown?
Yeah, in a hospital gown. But it was when we got back to, we were crashing at one of the guys' house. Because, again, we were no names back then. It was me, Green Phantom, Hardcore Ninja, and Arsenal.
Which one of the Hardcore Ninjas? One or two?
Two.
All right.
Who wrestled a little later. Good. Okay. It's for a fun fact for trivia. So because we were like, who are these guys? We also had our promoter with us, PCP Manny, by the way, who was with us to encourage us. They didn't spring for a hotel because we're like no names. We just wanted to get on the show kind of thing. So we're crashing at this guy's house, and as we're watching some DVDs, that's when I started shaking, and I was like, holy shit, I lost a lot of blood. It seemed at the moment like a scene from a horror movie. Like, you know, oh, cool, I love when they cut off the guy's hand and he just shoots blood everywhere before he actually passes out or dies. You know, and that's how it felt like. But then
you're
I realized,
oh, fuck, that happened.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that was not a horror movie. That was my blood that I need to live.
Yeah, but it did lead like a snowball effect, butterfly effect, into like getting me all over the place. And yeah, so It was pretty a cool adventure.
Well, that's
and,
what happens a lot with the, well, at the time, too, with a lot of the hardcore guys.
Some guys may have accidents, though, and they don't capitalize, and they might just cover up and then run out of the ring, and that's the end of the match.
Yeah.
Here, I kind of made it a spectacle, and I still won the match, and I was still drinking my blood and stuff. And, like, so that was a
how
moment.
Much was like was how much of that was, like, pure, like, adrenaline showmanship, or was any of that being, like, this is really dumb, but I'm going to do it because it looks
nope.
like I wanted, like, the brain
that
process.
Happened at night. No, we're right there. It was 100% showman. I'm like, the show must go on, and, like, holy shit, I got this. And I just went with it, and I was like, it's gonna. I was picturing in my head to make a great visual image,
yeah.
And they have a really good company down there that videotapes a lot of the matches in the States, Smart Mark Video. And so it's still on there, and it made a lot of hits on YouTubes, and you got to see this, and E-Bombs World, and all this stuff. So I was all over where even guys did in slow motion, did music videos to it, and that was on, I guess, the beginning more of the internet. I didn't know how powerful it was, and even now, a lot of guys use it. I'd say artists of every genre of music, of you know, of showmanship, they could use it to propel themselves, but it also hurts maybe for sales. Like when for the established artists that are really high up there, because then they're not really getting maybe the record sales that they would deserve. And then, you know, when you want to break a record, like it's kind of hard to compare. They're like, man, I came this close to beating this guy, but because of people downloading it and piracy, you know, maybe I didn't break that record.
Well, I'm sure of it being on the YouTube and whatever. Like had to hurt DVD, right? If you're just sort of like, 'cause like if you think like a few years earlier when like video was it, if that image was like exclusive to one VHS tape, that VHS tape would like push a lot of sales.
Yeah.
If you were like watch fucking Sexy Eddie drink his own blood and win the match, and you'd be like, it'd be like written in like big bold letters on the thing, but you'd be like, oh, everyone saw that on YouTube already.
But there were so many highlights on these shows, which were called Tournament of Deaths.
Okay.
And this was
what was the promotion?
Combat Zone Wrestling.
Oh, CZW, okay. That's
and like, so they're already at, I don't know which one they're at, like 10th or 11th or something. And that being like their top seller, I think Cage of Death is their second one. And that Cage of Death is, again, I knew how big it was for this company. I didn't know how much it ripple effect it goes throughout the world that people buy this. That's where I went on the top of a cage in my garbage can thing. I had like four or five guys catching me. And again, big sales, and it helped me out. I was a part of that main roster of that company for over 2 years.
Okay.
Driving up there every month.
Up there being?
Philadelphia.
Okay.
And you're talking about a good 7 hour trip there, 7 hours back. And. For 15 minutes in the ring, which some guys down here would be, why don't you get a real job, you stupid idiot? You're gone there for 50 minutes. You're actually traveling in a car for 14 hours, and you're just there for 15 minutes, and you're just getting paid like peanuts. Again, for me, this was my passion at the beginning. And
no
like,
hotel?
They were giving us at that time.
Because I was just imagining the time when you drank your blood. I was like, I can only imagine that like
afterwards,
your appearance fee paid your hotel. And then you probably paid like food and shit out of pocket, and you're just sort of like, "Oh, this weekend costs money."
Yeah.
Fucking
at the beginning, it's all like that. My first pay ever in wrestling, I got paid in 10 loonies because the promoter said I was at the end of the line, kind of thing, and he was like, "We got rid of all the bills. Sorry, is that cool?"
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh, money, that's cool. You know, you pay for your training, you pay for your gear, and you pay your dues." 15 years though. Now maybe I'm a little more of a princess, a prima donna. You know, I like the promoter to have my whores willing and ready, already roofied. I don't want to have to work for it after a show. Like, I'm tired. You know, let me just lay back and have them work on me, right?
Keith, can we put
right?
in, at this
can
point,
you feel
can you
me?
Put in the views of the guests don't necessarily reflect the views of Keith and Walter?
That's well, we're not running a wrestling promotion yet, so we don't have to worry about roofying whores.
Okay, fine.
Just
right, fair enough. Real quick,
yeah.
What's Necro Butcher like? Is he a nice guy?
He's my good buddy. He's actually he's smarter than a lot of people think, and that's where you're like looks can be deceiving.
Well, they kind of do that. They kind of point that out in the wrestler, okay? Because when he's not like when he's like wiping the blood off and he's like talking to Mickey Rourke and he's kind of like got his shit together.
That's him too. He puts on his glasses and he'll talk to you about. He's a big fan of Canadian football, actually, which is weird. So when you ask
like
him,
Doug Flutie, and Necro Butcher's like, yes.
Oh yeah, he know, and he's like a big fan of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So when I was at one point working for the Montreal Alouettes team, so I even gave him tickets for a show because we organized it. Actually, we made a promoter change the date of his show to make it on the weekend. There was a game with the Hamilton against Montreal, okay. So I hooked him up with the tickets and everything, and yeah. It worked for everybody.
Must have been pumped.
Is he an older dude? Or is that just the way he looks?
He's also, I think, so much the beating that his body took. I don't know if that made his hair turn gray, but he, before wrestling, I don't know if he was in the Army, I think, or the Marines. I think he was in the Army. And already you could take had a good threshold of pain. So I don't know as much of the backstory, but he was already toughened up. But I think that the gray hair is a lot from wrestling, which... he was doing this every weekend, which I wasn't doing this kind of crazy matches every weekend. We'd have a build-up, a feud, a regular match, then a tag team match, then a guy interferes, then you do a ladder match, a first blood match, and then you finally get like a fans bring the weapons after 6 months. Right. He was doing these type of matches every weekend, and I had a lot of time to drink with him too, and you don't realize it. Like, he's the calmest guy. I was going to say a family man, but now maybe like too many kids. See, that's where he made the mistake. You know, I always make sure the girls are on the pill, you know, because condoms aren't just any fun for me. So that's why, you know, if I can tell the kids.
I learned a term today, actually.
Yeah.
Which is outside kids. do you know this?
Outside kids?
Outside kids, which is like outside of the relationship kids. But that's a term. Is outside kids.
Right.
And they were talking about, Kanye and Jay-Z on the Watch the Throne album have a song, talking about how, they're going to be these great fucking dads, but they both have outside kids.
Do they really?
They both have outside kids.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
There you go. More you know, Eddie.
But yeah, no, outside kids. You don't want outside kids.
No, I don't mind if my kids get swallowed. There's millions and millions. She can swallow in the mouth there. That's fine. But I don't know if that's outside kids, too. It's outside the vagina. When you wipe it up with a towel, is that an outside kid or no? That doesn't count.
Nice.
All right, that's just wrong.
They're all kids. They're all potential kids. They're potential little Eddie.
I could have had a genius. Are you selling me my last load? I could have had a brain surgeon in there? Shit, he could be paying off a lot of my bills.
Could have had Kanye.
Could have
had Kanye or Jay-Z in there somewhere. Probably Eminem, but, you know, it's all right.
I don't know. I want to ask stuff, but I don't know if I should ask stuff. I don't know. We talked about.
Go ask.
I love it.
I'm just gonna ask it.
We
talked about.
Show,
I don't want to step on shit, but anyway, we talked about Manny before, and the IWS is coming back. Are you gonna have anything to do with that? Or?
I will be. I've already been referring a couple names and guys that they've needed, guys that I've wrestled with and I've had the chance to work with, and some of them who would bleed. For small crowds, and I'm like, man, save some of that. And I think they're going to go in the right direction. They might need to be schooled a little bit with learning about character and psychology.
Okay.
It's not just about bleeding, because that's not what IWS was about. It was almost when I was one of the founders myself, Manny and Nick. Our goal was to give an English wrestling show, because there wasn't any at the time,
right.
And one that reflected kind of the values of the old ECW. A lot of high-flying action with a lot of violence. Not just headshots, but hey, let's flip on flip with a chair onto a guy with a ladder or stuff like that. And it developed in what it was, which the legacy still lives on DVD. But I'm hoping it'll still be the same. I won't be participating on the first show.
Okay.
Not sure for the second show, because I'm busy. We're all busy, and a lot of the wrestlers that were there at the time have kids, have moved on, and some of them are not even – I don't even know where they are anymore.
Yeah.
So, they just disappeared. So, I'm one of the few originals. The last one, I'm going to say four or five years ago.
Yeah, so that's plenty
something
of time
like
to
that.
Move on and change your life. If you're
going
to do that, that's it's
so,
a long gap, right?
I know it's already going to be built with some founding members, and there's going to be some of Quebec's top talent, which are making good waves. I don't know if they've already made the announcements or what, so I just, you know, hope everything goes good. I'm going to be actually...
John Prescott, audience member, informed us that main event is Dirty Bucks
Green Phantom. And that's in a fans bring the weapons or a death match? Just a death match, so yeah.
Yeah.
So they keep it open to, like, you know, any possibility of where it can go. But, yeah, I'll be wrestling out of town in Ontario, actually, against a WWE legend, Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, super shit. Cool.
So, which would be a lot of fun, you know.
You're still going for that IC belt?
Is it Santino that beat him, actually, or is he still the number one, the longest reigning, right?
I think it's still Honky Tonk. Yeah. I know Santino was, was gunning for it because Santino had it for a while, but I think Honky Tonk kept the record.
Yeah, so he better not concentrate too much on his hair, and yeah, keep an eye on that belt because me and my 5 pounds are coming right for it. Yeah.
Is he gonna give you the... At one point in time, he needs to, like, get down on his knees and pray up to you, whatever.
He is going to pray. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to be right at dick level. And he's going to pray that I don't drop the hammer on the honky.
Where's this? Which weekend, sorry?
This will be the same weekend. Actually, it's May 10th.
May 10th.
And it's going to be in Smiths Falls for Hannibal Pro Wrestling, okay. I think. Some companies changed name a few times. So, yeah, it's hard to keep up with all these abbreviations and acronyms of companies. And, you know, they all usually have a W in there, so there's always a wrestling in there. But, yeah, it's in Smiths Falls.
Something W something.
There's always a W, yeah.
Well, do you have more questions?
Whatever happened to... We'll get to that. We have our fact checker slash our plug checker
slash
here. John
trying
Presser.
To get his own plugs in on fucking the show.
He's gonna get is a butt plug. Okay, you keep it quiet down there.
I was just starting to when you were talking about like the old like the guys that used to be there at IWS, and I started thinking about the roster, and you know, I was like, yeah, I wonder what happened to some of those guys. Like I was like Viking.
They might want to do a recap on a lot of these guys to see where they're at. You know, it would just be fun when they do that in WWE. I saw a write-up on Bastion Booger, and he still looked fat. He just looked old. So I was like, interesting. But no, like Viking was
still fat.
Viking was one guy that disappeared. He'd message me, being on Facebook, write a message, and 2 days later, he's not on there anymore. He'd got his neck all tattooed. I think he was dating a girl that was married. And then after that, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I remember him being... He was kind of, like, at the top of that promotion, too. Like,
yeah.
We wish you all the best of luck in your future endeavors, Viking.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I hope he's still doing okay. You know, he's probably drinking less without me around. When we do some good road trips, and so actually, they flew us down a bunch of times, IWA Mid-South in Chicago... In Indiana and Illinois, in those main areas, and we had some wild parties with the guys down there. We were tag teaming, and we both put some of our fingers in a girl's vagina at the same time so we could tag. Picture here, I'm showing a visual, but you got this. This is both my hand and his hand, and then we were doing this even, and making little splashes. Anyways, yeah, that was like a good
tag team.
Yeah, a moment that I thought, you know, would probably, it's like a blood bond for life. Here's a vaginal juice blood bond. And yeah, that was after like this big deathmatch tournament thing. And
both meanings of tag team together.
I was I've been close to my tag team though too. For 1 year I was tagging
that
with
sounds extremely close.
Extremely
to your tag
close.
Team.
I was 1 year with LaFisto and we were having sex that whole year. So that was a lot of fun too. Once the tag team broke, it's like the sex soon after broke off too. But how can you be closer to your tag team? Some people are tag teams are brothers, or you know they've been growing up together for a whole lot of time. But you know, but when you're inside your tag team partner, I think there's nowhere you don't know that. No one else knows their partner better than you do when you're inside your partner.
This is a future sexy Eddie t-shirt right there.
I want to talk about real quick gimmick infringement.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, and how serious do you take that? And specifically, I want to bring up one guy, sexy Leon Saber.
Sexy yeah. Leon Saber. They tagged.
I know you guys
tagged together at Battle Mania. It's Battle Mania?
Again, here's a fun fact. A lot of people don't know. When he was 10 years old, he saw me practicing at the side of my house. I was bumping. I had some mats. And again, I was starting to get into wrestling. So he watched me, asked what I was doing. I said, pro wrestling. I said, if you don't get in the way, you can kind of follow what I'm doing. And weeks later, he'd bring friends, and he'd be there every week. His friends would be there once in a while.
Yeah.
But he stayed, and he kept doing the drills with me. I brought him to a couple shows. Then at a couple shows, I even got him into the ring before the show happened and after. And I gave him his... his start. It's kind of like a tribute because I trained him.
That's
I helped
awesome.
Train him.
See, I,
so
I
that's why some
that
people
case,
yell
yeah.
And they get back, and I'm like, hey. And we use it in storyline that later on he was my son, which doesn't make that much sense if you do the math and you're like, okay, so 13 he had a kid. It could happen.
You're like, I'm very virile.
It's,
you know?
It's possible, you know? But so, yeah, so and he got to do actually was like a month and a half ago his first match in the States, so I was very proud of him. Yeah. So it was really cool. And, you know, anytime you get to touch someone's life by wrestling, maybe they're inspired too by you. I find that's kind of really cool because it means we're doing something, right? I don't like seeing videos of kids wearing Yves Martin underwears. That's what I used to wear back in the day. And they're hitting each other with light tubes because then I know that I'm a direct cause of that.
Right.
It's important to know the basics before, like you learn how to crawl before you learn how to walk.
Right.
And some guys just jump to the crazy stuff, which I kind of did that a little bit too. But then I was like, hey, let me put that on the back burner with Manny and Nick. We're learning how to break beer bottles over our heads. And, you know, we're like steaming the labels off, hammering them, and then practicing on our heads, you know, and stuff. And it's crazy because some of them you're not broken good enough. You bang, bang, and it hurts. So, but then I went back to
that's
basics.
Why. Whenever Walter's like, hit me over the head with a beer bottle, I'm like, Walter, there's a process. And you're like, do it.
You probably drank too much.
Just make your head harder.
Just swing harder, Keith. And just like, and you're like, nope, no break. And Walter's like, it's the worst.
Yeah, I lost a lot of brain cells with wrestling, but I wouldn't change anything, actually. So it's been a long and crazy ride.
I can only imagine. We didn't even get to Japan, and we're like, we're wrapping up, and we're heading towards five questions.
Yeah,
Walter,
I was just checking to see.
I could do a quick summary of Japan. I got to do three trips down there.
Okay.
And they really liked my character. At first, they didn't understand some stuff because they have a lot of rules on women and men in mixed matches. The women down there wrestle as men would and everything. But I told them, like, with my character, there's a lot of things that I can do that's never been seen here before.
Yeah.
So some things I was able to get away with. And then once they saw and they understood what I did, they gave me the okay. And they gave me, like, the next day, like, I was able to do more. And okay. Then another day I was able to do more and stuff.
Okay.
So they were really good at understanding what I wanted to do. Wrestling's a universal language. Anywhere you go, they know the moves, except when you want to explain a story or a comedy spot, you need a translator. So, but it was really cool. Again, it's been 2 years since I went there.
I can only imagine that would be like, in a way, adding a translator to what you do would be like, would make the comedy like even more.
Because everything kind of is broken too.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes they're like, wait a minute, you want the girl to be laying down and then you're going to lift your leg like a dog urinating on her and then proceed to give her like, you know, a sack attack in the face or something, yeah. You know, you can't, and then like some things you can't do.
Fans are like, good enough.
Yeah. Here you could do anything. We'd always wrestle at like 18 plus bars. That's what the IWS was also about.
As opposed to those non 18 plus bars. Where they let in the minors.
Yeah. Those stupid minor bars. So that we gave us the leeway to do a little more and get away with a little more, which also made it more memorable. And because of the DVDs, it had an American company come videotape us, and we were still, I think maybe two companies was International Wrestling Syndicate (IWS) and our sister company, which kind of broke off after, which was Interspecies Wrestling.
Yeah.
They were the only two to actually have our product and have our whole show in the States, not just do. Use the banner, do a match. We had like our roster go down there to the States, a Canadian company to do that. So we're the only two, which I find really cool. I don't know if anyone else has done that yet, not to my knowledge. So it's really cool. It's fun to be in brown breaking, to be somewhere to be part of history.
Yeah, like doing something that nobody's ever done.
That nobody's ever done. And sometimes, you know, you got a dream. To get there, you need dreamers. So kids, keep dreaming. If you're gonna maybe get to have sex with some of the girls that I've had sex with, keep dreaming. Keep dreaming.
How about this real? You got a dream if you want a cream.
Oh my! There's your T-shirt.
Shit.
That's money. Yeah. You're getting parts. You're getting props on
Thank
that.
You.
That's good. That's good.
I was gonna say before we head into five questions, if you were to ballpark the number of what's the term? Is it like
we're at a what?
I was going to say ballpark figure.
Right.
And I was going to say for hockey, it's puck bunnies. I don't know what it is for wrestling girls. girls that are into wrestling. Is there a
ring rats. Girls is ring rats. Yeah, exactly.
Ring rats?
Yeah.
Well, that's just like, I mean, that's the girls that hang around, like, looking to fuck the wrestlers afterwards. So, right?
Yeah, there hasn't been that many ring rats that I've had sex with. I've had sex with a good amount of actually female wrestlers, and from, like, Quebec, from Ontario. Did I get any in the state?
To call back,
not
to
female wrestlers, ring rats in the states. Yeah, no rat. But it's hard to remember them all. But
we should
specify
earlier. You were talking about how you slept with Lufisto for a year. Lufisto was in fact a woman.
Yes, she is a woman. I don't.
You might specify that. Yeah,
yeah. I felt that we should throw that out there.
That's fair.
Yeah.
My character. That's one thing too. It's character. It's also truth. I'm like, you know, I do put on a good show, and it's funny that a big demographic is young girls, really old girls, and gay guys. But Sexy Eddie only sleeps with women, okay? So I just, again, I got to set this out there because sometimes, but you know what? I'll be glad to shake your hand, autograph your picture, and you could even shake my junk if the price is right. So, okay? So.
Heard it here first, kids.
So back to the question, ballpark figure. Since you became a professional wrestler, like, are we talking like triple digits? Starting with the two.
You're
three,
talking about matches
four?
Or you're talking about girls?
Let's say both.
Wow. Okay.
We'll go matches and
if
girls.
After every show, I'd say some shows I was tired. I've done now 730 some odd matches. I like to keep a track of this. So probably my first year of wrestling, I was probably taking down the ring and I didn't get much of that, the perks.
Fair.
So let's give it after. Jeez, 730. I'm really bad at math.
Were you going to say half the time?
I can only count to 21, usually. My fingers, toes, and
so
yeah.
So if it's half the time, it's 365.
So, yeah, we'll go with, yeah, that sounds, you know, like it's hard to say it sounds reasonable or not. I don't know. The thing is that my blood, because I've had sex with so many girls and I've contracted so many diseases, they combat each other, and I am the antivirus to anything. Yeah.
Okay. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's I sometimes I impress myself.
You're like the Magic Johnson of pro wrestling.
Do you want to hit five questions while there?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do
so
it.
These are, as we explained before the show, it's three questions that we ask to every one of our guests.
Yeah.
We actually have, since we had you booked, we have a question that was like a generic question, and we also have a specific question for you.
All right.
Our last guest on was Holly Gauthier Frankel, who was aka Miss Sugarpuss, burlesque performer in Montreal.
Yeah.
She was your
lead. She's hot.
And like I said, we kept all of April really sexy.
Yeah. This is the sexy
burlesque dancer followed up by sexy. Eddie.
All right. We're bringing sexy back. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And sexy never left.
Fifth question is going to be you asking a question into the future, and we don't know who we have booked, so
okay.
It's going to be a generic question. So first question is, what did you want to be when you grew up as a kid?
Yeah, I think it was like police officer or fireman, something with a uniform, because my mom said I'd look good in uniform. Little would I know that years later I would be stripping at a bachelorette party with a said uniform. I have actually a mechanic uniform in my drawer too. I pull out on some of the good days. It's always a good surprise. Girls love gimmicks. They love costumes. They love uniforms. So again, guys do too. I've always had a weakness for nurses.
Looked over to my girlfriend. She was nodding in agreement.
I've had so many stitches. So when a nurse will take care of me, and it just that's something that I have a weakness for. So yeah, it was someone who enforced the law. I didn't think I'd be a lawbreaker like I am today.
So you were okay. So uniform authority. You thought you were going to grow up to be an authority figure.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of having a gun. Which again, you know,
it all came so together.
So you know,
all right. So this one is really important. You don't think about it too hard.
All right, that's easy. To, like, I don't have much in there, but that's good.
First name that pops into your head when I say who is the greatest person of all time?
Wow. Then I'm just gonna shoot out Hulk Hogan, maybe because of what I do.
Fair.
I I'm not gonna say for skill level or nothing, but I mean. He knew what he was doing, and it's people don't understand it always now that it's all about business. It's not about
showmanship,
I can really beat this guy in a real fight, or I'm really better than this guy. No, it's what gets the ass in the seats, and that's the guys that become champions when they know what they're doing.
Well, that's what. So, and that's so I mean, to say arguably what he did better than anybody at the time, right?
Able to.
Like, I watched. I just sat down and I watched WrestleMania 3. And if you watch WrestleMania 3, the Steamboat Randy Savage
match was
is fucking
better.
Like 15
so much.
Years ahead of its time, easily. You're like, holy shit, this is fucking quick-paced, fucking like.
Except they apparently rehearsed it forever. Like forever.
Maybe they rehearsed it forever.
But so did Hogan against Ultimate Warrior. They had a lot
that
of.
Was, I think that was at 5, maybe.
How long did that need to be rehearsed, though, honestly?
Dude, it had to
is this the crisscross? Like, they had to rehearse the crisscross off the ropes.
Every strike, from what I heard, had to be planned in because it would have threw them off. But I just think because, again, he was an athlete that was able to keep keep his name going through different wrestling companies, which not a lot of guys can do that. Make movies, able to explore a lot of different medias, and it opened the door to guys like The Rock and Stone Cold
that
were all able to break off John Cena too. And then, hey, we're not only known as professional wrestlers, we could also be known as
entertainers,
actors, like, comedians, entertainers. Mick Foley doing the, you know, you got to open, right?
Yeah, that was fucking tits, man.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Foley, in Foley's a little bit broken memory, somehow also imagined Walter open for him in Nashville.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I didn't, but he thought I might have.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there was like he was like, oh, you were there in Nashville. Yeah. Are you open for... No, I didn't open for you in Nashville, Mick. Thanks.
And again, greatest person, but then when smartest, sometimes it doesn't translate into greatest because then you look at all the mistakes he made with his ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so, you know.
Greatest person Hulk Hogan, I think, is...
Yes, that's our best greatest person chosen yet. I'd
I'm just trying.
So
you just you caught me off guard here, you know, because I could.
That's why,
you know.
But that's why I said this. You can't think about it too hard because if you think about it too hard, you end up falling on like Mother Teresa or something.
I was thinking more Peter North, but you know, from porn stars
would have been good
but
too.
Yeah. Again, yeah, but Mother Teresa, good. Yeah, she'll be my number three. I'll say.
All right. what is the worst fashion choice you've ever made?
I had purple jeans in CJEP.
Were they exhaust?
Yeah, and I was like...
Were they exhaust jeans?
I think they were from Stitches, probably.
Yeah, so they were exhaust.
They might have been. And
exhaust
I,
jeans
what
were
the fuck
Stitches
is exhaust then? Jeans?
Exhaust jeans were... You're a little bit younger than... Like, you're a little bit older than me. I'm 31.
Yep.
And Walter's is 26.
Seven.
Oh,
seven,
I want to pinch
27.
Your cheeks, you little youngster.
27.
So, yeah. So I remember exhaust jeans, and they were like those baggy jeans with a lot of pockets and the X crosses, and they came in every color
and,
from
and,
Stitches.
And I think I'd like to wear a combination of with this Tasmanian Devil shirt. and I had one girl that is funny. Years later, she wrote to me on Facebook, and she was like, I would have had sex with you, but because you always wore those purple jeans. And I was like, what? Nobody told me this shit. Like, I like to think I was kind of cool back then. I could have been cooler if I would have took off those fucking purple jeans.
To your credit and fuck that girl, those jeans were like...
Oh, I did
shit.
After, but yeah. Yeah,
but, like,
I she got hers.
Being like, if you didn't have exhaust jeans with the cargo pockets with the X and whatever, including the purple variety, you were nobody. Like,
yeah.
Those were the Invicta bag of jeans. Do you remember Invicta bags? The Invicta backpacks?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Backpacks that absolutely fucking everybody had. If you had Invicta bags and exhaust jeans, you were...
I probably didn't have the backpack, so it didn't make me 100% cool.
My mom wouldn't buy the jeans because they were expensive. She's like, that's stupid. I'll buy you fucking cargo pants, like, from anywhere else. And I was like, but they need to say the thing.
They need to get the label. I actually started taking off my clothes, too, at CJEP. When we're doing our radio show, which is funny, because radio, nobody sees you.
Right.
But we'd always do it in our underwear. And
I feel that it's fair to point out that Eddie's in his underwear right now.
Right now, right now. I wouldn't feel comfortable. And we would actually go around and do, let's say, a question, a quiz. We'd ask... whatever, the crowd stuff. We go around in our underwear, and the security guards knew that it's okay. It's the guys that do the radio show. We're able to get away with it.
This is Dawson?
You guys can walk around.
Yeah, Dawson.
I had a radio show at Dawson, too.
From there, actually, I did the Power Lunch Hour, and I had, when I started, I was doing like a 5:30 shift at the other campus, which you don't know about, Selby
campus.
Which was next to a tobacco place. And it's
near where Imperial is.
Yeah, and it stunk there, but that's where I started out. But then going to the Power Lunch Hours and everything, and getting to do a lot of talking helped. I think it was all kind of the seeds of a wrestling character. And taking off my clothes, we even did a charity for kids where... I did a strip thing to the Backstreet Boys,
right.
And it was a song playing. It was back then. It was hot, You know, and I wanted to get the girls love the Backstreet Boys, so I was like, you know, let me jump on this. And so we did a strip, and the money was given to kids where a girl bought me, and like I'd have to like help her out with her class or go around with her books, carry her stuff. Again, they had specified that nothing sexual had to be done, but I was pleading with the girl, no, we could have sex, whatever you want. So again, little
no,
money.
I know they said no, but also yes.
I think I raised about, yeah.
It's your money.
I raised a big $25, but it went to the children's hospital.
It's
so
for the kids, yeah, damn it.
I'd like to think I gave to the kids for the children, yes.
All right. So now we're at the question from Miss Sugarbush. She actually knew that you were coming up. So yeah. She had one question that's directly.
Did we tell
you.
Lady who Miss Sugarbush? We did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm familiar with her work. I've seen those tassels. I know. Yes, I know.
She was on Night Fight episode 3? Two or three?
Three.
One of Walter's shows. So this is a question specifically from her to you.
Yeah.
Which is, how many wrestling trunks do you own, and do you make your own or modify your own?
Okay, no, I have probably about now, I've went through maybe 30.
Okay.
Maybe a good 15 of them got ripped in some hardcore death matches. They get caught on barbed wire and they peel right off. And after a while, you use the same one for 3 times, and you know what? The hole was big enough for one of my testicles to come out.
Ew.
So I was like, you know what? There's kids in the audience. and even at the beginning, I just threw them in the wash like a loser, and then they got all their shininess came out of them. All the sparkles came off.
How do you wash the trunks? What's the
I got to hand wash them
hand
now.
Wash the trunks.
So girls out there, yes, I do my dishes. I cook, and I hand wash. So I am a handyman around the house too, so if you need your plumbing fixed, I can tinker your pipes if you need.
And are they all the order?
I ordered them from like, it's funny, but like kind of sex shops will have them, or even man on man oriented stores will carry them.
Man on man oriented.
I'm just, you know, I don't
like
want to
pre-app.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I even did a documentary, and they told me they wanted to have a wrestler buy gear. And I said, look, I get it all ordered and stuff. So they said, look, we'll go to Pre-App, which was the place we went. And they were like, buy a pair of underwear. We'll pay for them. So I was like, okay, cool. So as I'm showing them, I'm like, you can't have the ones with the little hole in the front, because that could wardrobe mishap.
Right.
So, you know, shinier is better. And anything that has, like, something sticks out. That's the cheapest way. You can get them made and stuff like that, which would probably be good, but it ain't broke, so I don't need to fix it. I've been doing it this way, so makes I'm gonna stay like that.
Have you ever modified any of them, like to add any flair or anything? Or?
You always have to. My mom has to sew a little patch in the front to make sure there's enough dick space.
Hey,
that's what I usually have to. Dick is okay to say on the mic. Cock,
hey, mom,
balls,
you free this
penis,
weekend?
Right?
Cause get what? Okay. Guess what? Hey. I found a sale. Bought 10 pair.
All right, so now her generic question, which would have been to any guest, is what is your personal credo?
Oh, man. I would say put it in. Put it in. It went in doubt, put it in.
Put it in.
Yeah.
That's good. That's actually, yeah.
It's one for the kids.
You know, I'm not going to go and – you guys are thinking sexual here. I meant, like, you know what? If you're going to do a race, you're going to do something, I'm going to put it all in.
Put it in.
Yeah. You know, your heart.
Put it
all –
put it in.
Put it in. Yes. Yes.
That's legit inspiring, yeah. Honest to God.
Put it in hard.
Put it in.
Just put it in.
Just put it in.
Don't just fuck around with the tip. Put it in.
Put it in.
Put it in. Put it all in.
Now you made it sexual. Now,
yeah. All right. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. It was all sexual.
So now flip the tables and without knowing.
Fuck, I flip a lot of tables. I've been through a lot of tables, too. Yes.
Without knowing who our guest is, ask a question into the future and find out.
Okay.
What do you want to know from some stranger?
Okay, so this is either the guest will be a man or a woman, but I want it answered. It's part A and part B.
Okay.
So if you could sleep with any celebrity.
Oh, shit, we did that.
That's my question.
Alive or dead? And dead? Did you say dead too?
I said blowjob from a celebrity.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the celebrity's giving you a blowjob? Okay, well, I was going to stay with the put it in, kind of, and keep going with that. And I was gonna, if you can put it in or get it put in, but because I'm a star fucker. If I can modify it,
if it's okay with you, yep. If you could just specify dead. If you could have sex with any dead
that's good.
Celebrity. Because both of our answers on the oral sex thing from John Prescott were both alive celebrities.
Yeah.
So if you were to just throw in me, like, if you could.
And I want to clarify, that doesn't mean digging up their corpse. That means if they were at their prime.
In their prime.
They were looking good. They're hot like her over there in the white t-shirt and the jeans. Yes. in their prime. Yeah, that's good. That's so good.
Walter, yeah. Do you have one? You could have sex with any celebrity dead?
Because I'm a big fan of star fucking, and I mean, this would make my career. I'd stop wrestling. If when Britney Spears was in town and everything, I was just like, let her just get one good glimpse at me. Even whatever, bald or crazy, she's got so much money. I know if I can have sex with her one time, it'll open the door. Every time she'll come here, we'll be having sex. No. That'll either up my career or I'm set for life. I'm Kevin Federline for life.
Sell the sex tape to Vivid, and you're like...
That was one of my wrestling storylines, too, a sex tape, and it never happened. The Fed actually closed down. So I was like, yeah. But it's sex tape is definitely going to help a career.
Dead celebrity. If you could go back in time and have sex with a dead celebrity, who would it be?
It's like I have to go classic and go Marilyn Monroe. Is that too easy?
It is too easy. I would like... no offense, but mine is equally
JFK.
Easy. I would absolutely, in like a fucking heartbeat, have sex with
JFK.
Audrey Hepburn. Like, fucking back in time Audrey Hepburn, like, she's on my time travel, have sex with. Also, Amelia Earhart, cool. Just cause.
How about JFK?
Also JFK. You want to be in a three-way?
I know, no homo, but seriously, you're fucking JFK.
Dead celebrity, who would you have sex with?
I was going to even go way back. I was like, Cleopatra. I don't know why. Maybe from movies, but I'm like, you guys picked a celebrity. I'm like,
there was no actual photos.
I bet she was hot.
The profile carved
out. She had a lot of power. Power is sexy. Power is hot. Yeah.
And so you could have been like her male concubine.
And you know what?
Living a life of luxury.
I think that would have been fun, just getting grapes fed to me. Would have been really good. The orgies. Those are awesome. Or even then, I was a big fan growing up. And even though she took a tumble, Anna Nicole Smith. She was Playboy Playmate of the decade. And spent a lot of time with that magazine.
Sure.
She did many spreads. And
if you had that tape, you'd be fucking loaded right now.
Oh, man.
If you had the tape of you fucking Anna Nicole Smith, if you had a tape of
that. I was all into curvy girls before the curvy girls were kind of hot. They came back. Like, I'm not a fan of the thin girls. They're just too fragile, and I'm nervous. But she had all the right lady humps or lumps, whatever you want, however the kids call them now.
Whatever the kids are.
And I just wanted to slap them around. Yes, I just wanted to have a lot of fun with them. So yeah, that would be another one. But
more or less wraps it up. I was like, on that classic note. Eddie's got to push his dates.
Yeah.
So we had one date in Ontario.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
one day where he's wrestling Honky Tonk Man on May 10th.
Yeah, we'll go in chronological order.
All right.
Actually, got this weekend. We got a wrestling documentary. We're shooting that in Rouyn Noranda, which is a nice little 7-hour drive. If you happen to be in the area and probably not English, then I guess you're probably not listening to this show. So you know what? I'll skip ahead.
Yeah.
Next date, I got a show in Saint Jerome. Spot show April 26th. Mind you, these are on Saturdays, so it'll be easier.
What's a spot show mean? Does that mean like
spot
a one-off?
Spot show's not really a company. It's kind of a bunch of wrestlers from different companies putting together to do a show. So that's it. Be in St. Jerome area. The weekend after is a big show for IWA Quebec. I'll be wrestling TJ Holiday. I don't know much about this guy. I know that he's a jerk because I'm wrestling him. So I know that he'll get the beat down, and the girls will be... very entertained, and the guys will enjoy the show too. Again, non-homo, they'll have a lot of fun. It will not be a holiday for Mr. TJ. He will be going straight out on a stretcher. That's for sure.
Fuck him.
He better be doing his chin-ups, his prayers,
so
and everything.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Now
there might be two jerks in the ring.
Oh man,
shit is gonna go down, man. Fuck this. I'm no offense, Eddie, but I feel that Walter's gonna be biased to you. Like he's gonna.
You better.
All right, Keith.
You better, man. Well, I didn't come to the show for nothing.
Fuck no.
We already talked about the Honky Tonk Man show. That's in Smiths Falls. Also, I wrestle for another couple of companies, Combat Revolution Wrestling, CRW, in Montreal. I wrestle for Acclaim Pro Wrestling. In Greeley, I am the tag team champion for them right now.
That's where I saw you at this summer in Greeley. I was about to say, I saw you do that. It was like an all-ages show.
Yeah.
I was thinking about when I had seen you do it, and you were on that. That was the summer when they brought out Colt. They brought out Colt Cabana for that.
Yeah. And you were getting an autograph, and I didn't know what to call with the with your gimmicks and stuff. You're doing a couple characters and stuff there, so I was like,
no, I wasn't.
Yeah, I think you were doing something for Battle War or ISW, something.
Nah, man.
Commentary. No.
Not me.
Some other bearded guy. Yeah. I don't know. That was looking at my package. Other stuff too.
All
this
that
summer.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I want to just say also,
your package might have been well.
If you're not a wrestling fan, come out this summer. I'll be wrestling at Heavy MTL. I'll be wrestling at Vans Warped Tour. I'll be wrestling at the Beach Club in Pointe Calumet. I'll be doing a bunch of festivals, a Western festival. So even if you're not necessarily into wrestling, you're probably into having a good time.
Like you're probably into like metal or punk.
You'll
or,
be there.
Or as my girlfriend who watches wrestling with me, she only really cares about butts. She just watches it and claps and says, butts! That's basically why she watches
it. So your girlfriend is 3 years old or learning the English language? She just says, butts. That clap you did, it looked like
pretty
that.
Pretty much.
Made like me
we
think.
Went to go see the WWE live show or at a Battle War or at whatever, and she's just like, butts! And she just
makes me think of the girl from Despicable Me, the little girl with the little butts, like kind of saying something funny. Yeah. Like Minions, yeah.
Either way, so I...
Cool.
It's a give and take, right? I'm like, yeah, my girl's coming out with me to wrestling, but also she's staring at a lot of other dudes' butts. A
lot of butts.
But you know what? Yeah, when you get a girl that could share
so
the passion
though.
You like, which is that's awesome. So if whatever you do, guys, if you like pornography and you like having sex with other girls, as long as your girlfriend could encourage you and enjoy in your pleasures too. So that's my words of wisdom to the guys out there.
So those are Sexy Eddie's closing thoughts. Walter, do you have anything to close off?
No, man, this is awesome.
This is kick-ass.
Yeah.
Walter's going to get on a plane tomorrow and head off to fucking WrestleMania.
Yes.
I hope you have a lot of fun, and it's going to be awesome. You're going to get to join in a lot of pre-shows.
If I run into Necrobutcher, should I say hi?
Name drop. He'll probably buy you a beer. I'll buy you a beer for that.
I went to WrestleCon last year, and I got like super drunk, and I tried to speak to Kevin Steen in French, and that was a disaster.
Awesome, yeah.
That's awful.
Did you haggle with Colt also?
Yeah, did that too. Super drunk. It's like,
good, I don't want to pay you full price for your t-shirt, Colt.
I've seen you at a bunch of shows. He makes you pay full price. He works you.
Yeah. All right, this has been Go Plug Yourself.
Thanks for doing this.
Sexy Eddie, thanks for coming out.
Thanks a lot, guys. Fans, add me on Facebook. And if you're a wrestling fan, add me. If you got a hot sister, add me. Have her add me. Moms too. And you know, I encourage you, sexyeddie@hotmail.com. 3 X's and EDDY. Send pictures too. They might win a chance to come in the ring with me and enjoy my pre-show ritual of taking off my clothes and maybe even the post-match sex party that I like to do one-on-one in my bed.
Only
after.
One-on-one, not one-on-two, one-on-three?
If the mom and this daughter want to do that kind of stuff, I'm all about bringing families together. I'm the Maury of a Jerry Springer of Quebec wrestling. That's what I do.
Fuck.
Yep.
That's the best.
Sexy Eddie.
Eddie, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks a lot.
There you go.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?